Namaskar. Today we're going to talk about the ways of karma. The word karma has multiple applications. There's the path of karma, which means the path of action, just like there's the path of knowledge, or jnana, and the path of devotion, or bhakti. That's one aspect of karma. All those three paths, karma, bhakti, jnana, or action, knowledge, and devotion, all are veritable paths of human progress in the field of yoga. Our interest today with regards to karma is related with law of karma, or the theory of karma, or the principle of karma. And that's related with action and reaction theory. In English, we kind of think of it as what goes around comes around, or you get what you deserve in life. But actually, the theory is more involved than that. In the yogic philosophy, there are distinct aspects to it, and it can be analyzed and understood in a more clear manner. In essence, we can say that there are four basic limbs to the law of karma. Well, we're going to boil it down to three. There's karma, which is the thought behind an original action and the action itself. For instance, let's say someone says, I'm going to do something, I'm going to help someone. And sure enough, they help an elderly person up the stairs. That is the idea and the action of doing something. Then there's kriya. We're not going to talk so much about kriya, but everybody should know that kriya just means the physical representation of the action, not the thought behind the action. Karma is the thought and the action. Kriya is just the action. That's part two. Part three is something that's really not very well practiced or talked about much in English or in some of our Western cultures. It's a word known as sanskar, S-A-M-U-C-H-I-S-K-A-R-A, sanskar. And it means mental impression or unexpressed reaction. It's kind of like your mental bank account, that when you do a good action, you develop good points, and those are unexpressed. It's like potential, the potential reaction. Before the reaction gets expressed, it sits there in psychic form. And it's like your mental bank account. You do good actions, then deposits go into your plus side of the mental bank account. You do bad actions, then deposits get made into the negative side of the mental bank account. That's in essence what sanskar is. It's ultimately an action or a reaction that's waiting to happen that has not yet occurred. When that reaction does occur, then it's known as something called karma phal. K-A-R-M-A, karma, and phal, P-H-A-L-A. The last A is silent. That phal means fruit, so it's the fruit of the action. One thing we've neglected to talk about just yet is what does karma, where does it come from? There's a word kro, or verb, which means the verb to do. And kri, K-R, is to do something in the world. And that's what that action is, to do something. So we have four basic steps, karma, kriya, sanskar, karma phal. We're not going to talk so much about kriya because it's already encapsulated into karma. Karma is the original thought and the action. So it's going to be karma, sanskar, and karma phal. And this is the limbs of the action-reaction theory. And there's one other thing to know about that. How does this whole action-reaction theory get moderated? And there's a force or a word in Sanskrit known as prakriti. In English, we call it nature. And nature is the force to make sure that an action does in fact create a sanskar and that that sanskar does lead to a reaction. And so it's kind of like this operating force or the governing force behind this whole law of karma. There's a few quick rules of the game that we're going to go over, and then we'll go through some actual experiences, and that may be the best way to understand how in a particular life experience. What is karma and what is sanskara and what is karma fall? But here are a few rules of the game. Number one, the intention behind an action is a major factor in determining the strength or severity of the reaction. A little complex, but it's pretty straightforward. It just means that if you really have a strong desire in your mind to do something good, then you're going to make a very distinct good reaction in your life. And if you're kind of blasé, then there's not going to be such a strong reaction. But if you're very determined to do something very bad, like steal someone's car or rob someone of their money, then you're going to get a very strong negative reaction. So the intention is very, very key in this whole karma theory. That's the first rule. Number two, the rate or pace by which a reaction occurs may vary, fast or slow, but ultimately it must be expressed. So the reaction may come all at once or it may come piece by piece. That means, let's say you did something good and you lent someone $100. You didn't know the person, you just had good faith that they needed help. Then your good reaction of lending that $100 may come very quickly. Maybe the next day someone will give you $100 back. Or maybe over time, you may get $10 back. You may find $10 on the street or something may happen and you may get your $100 back over increments. The whole idea here is that every action that leads to a sanskara or mental impression, that reaction will come and it may come over a series of incidents or in one shot. Number three, rule of the game. Karma leads to the creation of new sanskaras. So karma is an original action, like I'm going to help somebody or I'm going to steal that vehicle. That's an original action because there's intention and that creates a mental reaction that has not yet been expressed, like your bank account of good or bad points. And karma fall is the burning of those sanskaras. So if you do something good, then you have those plus points in your sanskara bank account. And when those plus points get expressed, that's the reaction. Now, the big trick, of course, is what is an original action and what is a reaction? How do you know where you are in the whole system? One way of thinking about it is when you do something actively with your mind and you perform an action, then generally that's karma. And if something is done unto you without your really wanting it to happen, then it's karma full or a reaction of something that happened earlier. So for example, let's say a person goes in to take an examination and they decide to cheat on their exam. They're looking around, they have wandering eyes, and they're looking, trying to. That was their intention before they even went into the exam, they were going to cheat. Then that is known as karma because they had the intention to go and manipulate and deceive the teacher, or whatever it may be, go against the system. And that's karma. That means that they're creating an initial action, and this action happens to be negative. So you're going to create a negative samskara. And that samskara is just like waiting to happen. It's something that's in latent form, dormant form, and one day that negative samskara will be expressed and it'll be the fruit of that action or the negative fruit of that action in the case of cheating on the exam. So that one, when you do something distinctly, that's karma. Like, distinctly, I'm going to go in and cheat on the exam. On the other side of the spectrum, let's say you go into the store, you're shopping, you've parked your car and very perfectly in the parking spot, you've just been minding your own business, doing your shopping, you come back and there's a big smack on your car. That means someone else came and knocked your bumper off and put a big dent in your brand new car. What happened? Where are we in the cycle? You didn't do anything. You just came back and the car was smashed. This is karma full. It's a fruit of the reaction. It means that maybe one day, long ago, you may have hit somebody's car. Or it may be maybe you dropped somebody's radio and dropped another person's radio. Something you did that led to that sanskara that was going to be expressed. And sure enough, that day when you were shopping, that sanskara took expression and that you finally got the reaction of that earlier action. And you came back and your car was smashed. It was something, usually the way to understand what is karma and what is karma full is karma is when you're actually doing something, and karma full is when something is done unto you without your awareness or without your intention or without your desire. Then let's say one time you're driving down the street and you're just driving very, very safely, eyes are on the road, and just as you're moving down the street, one squirrel runs underneath your tire and you roll over the squirrel and the squirrel dies. And then the question is, did you just create negative karma or negative samskara by killing that squirrel? And the answer is, according to the yogi, is that no, you didn't. Because in that particular incident, your desire was not to hurt the animal, just it was circumstance. It was, there's no karma, neither positive nor negative. Sometimes someone may say, well, maybe the squirrel got its reaction. Maybe the squirrel beat up another squirrel and now it got its negative reaction. But but for the human being perspective, it's no karma because your intention was not to hurt. And that brings up a very, very important point. We should not start thinking that this whole universe is totally booby-trapped and that every time we do something, we're creating negative samskara or positive samskara or vice versa. One thing to remember is that our basic day-to-day actions, brushing our teeth, cooking our food, driving to work, setting the dinner table, turning the computer on, these are just very much part of our natural course of living. And it's not like they're all linked to a whole successive action-reaction theory. There are some things that are just neutral actions, neither karma nor karma fall, neither action nor reaction. They're just natural ways that we're living and everyday type of events, so to speak. And so there's a whole bunch of things like that that come within that domain. Let's go to the next example. Let's say there's a criminal outside one bank. You don't know he's there, and you walk into the bank, and that criminal or gunman takes a gun to your back and forces you to go up to the teller and demand from the teller to steal all the money. So let's say you're put in that situation. Now what happens? Are you doing a negative action? According to the yogis, that person who's being forced to rob the bank by a gunman is not incurring any negative samskara. They're going against their will. One thing we have to remember here is that this whole system of karma is based on free will, that human beings have the desire or have the ability to act in a particular way. And this whole idea of free will plays in critically to this whole karma theory. So this person was going against their will. This was not their desire. They were forced to do that. So they're not getting any negative samskara. But the gunman who's forcing that innocent person to rob the bank, they're incurring negative samskara. They're negative samskara, and one day they're going to face the reaction for that. So this whole thing is just spinning around in cycle, one big cycle of karma. It may seem that you just move from one action to one reaction, one action to one reaction, and it's all piling up in your mental bank account. The samskara has plus and minus, and yet you can never escape from this web. But the yogis say that you can escape. There is a way to extricate oneself. And the way to extricate oneself is to relinquish the fruits of one's actions. That means just do the good thing and don't expect any result in life. And then that's one way to live in this world without incurring more samskara and more reaction. Another way, it says, is to, by doing things in an egoless way, give up all vanity and perform your actions that way. That's another way to continue to live in the world without piling up more reactions, neither positive nor negative. And then the third one, and they say this is the most effective, is to follow the path of prapatiwad. Prapatiwad means surrender theory, that to surrender to the benevolent winds of the universe, to the laws of the cosmos, to the benevolent will of the cosmos. And that if you set yourself towards universal welfare instead of working towards your own petty selfish gain, then that is another very, very beautiful way to live in this world without incurring creating more mental impressions of positive or negative reactions. So those are the three ways to get out. And the main one is just to surrender. It means surrender one's ego to the path of universal benevolence. So this is how the whole system works in very much of a nutshell. You've got your karma, your action, you've got your sanskara, your mental reaction, and then you've got your karma fall, the fruit of that action. And that thing sends people moving on their path in life and in their whole course of events, because yoga preaches or states that this whole universe is connected. And therefore, all the actions are also linked. That nothing happens in a vacuum. It's all part of a chain of events. Yoga says that there are no such thing as luck in this universe. There's no such thing as chance. Everything is an incident. Nothing is an accident. And so nothing happens in isolation. And that's why this karma theory is very much related with each and every person's life. And that when one finishes their karma, then that's the time for samadhi, or whatever you want to call permanent bliss and peace in life. So that's our little talk on karma, sanskar, karma fall, and the whole cycle of karma. This has been presented by Renaissance Yoga, www.renyoga.com. Namaskar.